This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
Opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team out, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Boston Red Sox head to the All-Star break after one final series. Philadelphia Phillies in town take on the Sox. Red Sox will send five players to the All-Star game. Xander Bogaerts, Rafi Devers, both starters on the left side of the infield at shortstop and third base, respectively. Nathan Eovaldi making the All-Star team, as did closer Matt Barnes. A lot of excitement about that. And J.D. Martinez makes the All-Star team as well. I'm Chris Ryan. Thanks so much for taking some time to join us. We talk Sox a lot on this show. Trent Frederick re-signed with the Bruins. Him a little bit later, but we start with Red Sox manager Alex Cora. Shohei Ohtani doing it against the Red Sox out in Anaheim with both the bat and on the mound. Beat Nathan Eovaldi in a matchup of two aces and also had a couple home runs. I talked with Red Sox manager Alex Cora.
Alex, should he automatically be, you know, the MVP pretty much, considering what he's able to do with on the pitching side and leading baseball and home runs? Like, is that just being a starting pitcher and hitting the way he does that pretty much qualify him to be the MVP?
Well, I guess, you know, he should be in the conversation. We should make a new award for him. Because the other guys, for the hitters, yeah, he's just a different breed. He's something different. This is something, you know, MLB hasn't seen since Babe Ruth. So, he should be in the conversation. Just the things that he does, the way he's dominating the game. Right now, he's probably the best player in the game right now, because he's able to do both at a high level. He's not the best hitter. He's not the best pitcher, but you combine everything and he becomes the best player. So, I leave it at that. So I think he should be in the conversation.
So your thoughts on having five All-Stars with Nate and Barnsey, obviously, and JD joining Rafi and Bogaerts?
Pretty cool. One of the coolest days as a manager is to get everybody together. And first things first, to praise the team. We haven't had too many meetings this year, but just to let them know how proud I am. You know, we got some deserving guys, you know, other guys that didn't make it. Just to let them know how good they've been throughout the season. We still got work to do, but sometimes you got to take a step back, you know, and let them know how good they are. You know, the five, we know about Rafi and Xander, but, you know, Barnsey, he's been in the organization for a lot of years, you know, and the fact that now he's a closer and he's doing his job is amazing. You know, JD, a lot of people gave up on him last year. I told you guys, I bet you a dollar that he was going to have a good season. So you guys can send me the money to the clubhouse whenever you guys can. He's one of the best hitters in the mid leagues. He's a proud individual too. And he's playing with a chip in his shoulder. He does. He really does. And Nate, what can you say? You know, early, you know, you can ask Nick what he means to our team, to our rotation, to everything that we do, from competing every 5 days to, you know, his wife baking cakes every Sunday for us, or baking cakes for, you know, whenever there's a birthday. You know, he cares about everybody.
The last couple of weeks, you've talked about the fact this team is still has a lot of growth. What are some of the areas you feel that the team can still grow in?
Us? I think defense is something that we got to keep getting better. And you can see it. When we play good defense, we play good baseball, and that's something we've been preaching. I know the guys that are here with us, you guys see it, you know, the work that we put in, you know, the infield, the outfielders, and this is something that they're taking a lot of pride, you know, and we got to keep doing that. Offensively, I do believe we're in a in a good groove right now. We're dominating the strike zone. We're not striking out as much. We're doing good things with men in scoring position. And I think base running wise, we got to keep being aggressive. You know, yesterday, like I said, that was more on me than anything else, especially Marwin's. But there are good things, you know. The leads are getting better. Yesterday, because Rafi had a great lead and a good secondary lead, they tried to pick him off. He was going to be safe anyway. They threw the ball away. We scored from second. We got a man at third. Then we hit a sack fly, and we scored. And those little details are the ones that are going to make us a lot better. So just keep preaching fundamentals. Keep getting better. And if we do that, we should be okay.
What's clicked with Kike over the last couple of weeks and allowed him to impact winning the way he has, in your view?
There's a lot of confidence right now in him offensively. You can see, and I always said this, you know, when you start controlling the zone and you start walking, good things are going to happen. And this started in Kansas City. He didn't play in Atlanta, right? The two games in Atlanta, one was just because of rest. The other one, you know, like he jokes, you know, he was benched. And he was benched too in Kansas City, the first game. And kind of like to see the game from the dugout and then slow things down. Sometimes it's not the physical aspect that we have to take care of them. I think the mental aspect too. And I know Timmy and Pete, they've been working on him. We've been talking about him in hitter's count not to expand. And he's been doing an amazing job. You see the walks are going up. Obviously, he can do damage in the zone. He's not trying to do too much. He gets in trouble when he tries to hit home runs. He gets big, and he starts hitting pop-ups in the infield. But lately, he's been short to it, straight to it, and he's driving the ball.
Being on pace to win 100 games at the halfway point of the season, obviously that's not one of your big goals, but does it become a goal at all when it's obtainable? And that's obviously something that, you know, guys talk about a lot for years to come if they have that type of season.
To win 100 games? I hope we win 100. You know, I just, you know, our goal is to win the division. And, you know, sometimes you win the division with 93 wins, sometimes with 100, others with 108. We'll show up every day and see where it takes us. We're not getting caught up in the whole thing. Obviously, as you guys know, I pay attention. You know, yesterday was a huge day for the Red Sox. You look around the league, what happened, you know, in the division and you know, in other divisions, you know. Yesterday was kind of like plus for us. So we'll take days like that. We'll take them, you know. But I think as a team, like I've been saying, you know, we're focusing on winning series or having positive weeks. And when we struggle, trying to play 500, you know, avoid the big losing streaks. And that's a testament, you know, for our starting rotation. You know, they've done a good job avoiding those. And if we keep doing that and stay the course, like I said, it should be a fun summer here in Boston.
All-Star game on Tuesday in Colorado. Xander Bogaerts starting at shortstop alongside his buddy Rafael Devers, and I asked him about the relationship the two have.
Xander, how would you define your relationship with Rafi? You guys like best friends? Is he your younger brother? And, you know, there's always the focus on how you rub off on him. How does he rub off on you as well?
I mean, we're really tight. You know, we're really tight, man. This is a kid that I remember I was in the Dominican. I think I might have played my first year in the big leagues, or second or something like that. And Victor Martinez, who's our hitting coach at that time, his son was in the Dominican. And I remember his son walked up to me one day in the academy and he said, "Hey, remember this name, Rafael Devers." I'm like, "What is this guy talking about?" You know, because we didn't sign him yet, but obviously there were talks that they were going to sign him. I think he's the one that ended up signing him. So, I mean, that goes way back that of me knowing who he was. You know, and coming up to the minors, you hear a lot of talk about this guy, the same as with Mookie Betts, you know. And just seeing him grow up in front of your eyes is something amazing, because, I mean, he's been through a lot, ups and downs. I mean, not to say nothing bad about him, but he has some weight issues in the past. And this year especially, every time I look at him, I'm like, "Man, you look really good." You know, I'm just giving him that recognition that physically, he does look really good. He might be looking better than me, you know, and just for him to understand that that's what it takes if he wants to be the player that he is right now and continue doing that for a long time. Because obviously, as I said, we know he has some injuries that might have been somewhat with the weight and stuff like that. But this year he's cleaned up all of that. He came in motivated after last year. And I think we push each other. You know, as I was saying earlier, there's no hate. There's no jealousy. But we do push each other a lot because we both see that there's much more that we can accomplish individually. And I think this year he's done a great job being able to recognize that, you know, with me also. Just understand that when I'm going through a rough time, you know, and then being there with some words of encouragement as I've been with him throughout the past. So he's maturing in front of our eyes. He's becoming a beast. And man, he's dangerous, man. And just being able to see it when he's locked in is something that you don't want to take your eyes off of it or go to the bathroom, especially when he's hitting, you know.
Do you feel like this has been your best season to date?
Good question, man. I like my 2018 season a lot. I think that definitely helped me go to another level. Obviously, 2019, I had a better season, and obviously this year I'm doing pretty good. But 2018, I felt that I was really consistent in a lot of aspects, especially like with my hitting. I know my average and stuff isn't the same, but that helped build the foundation of what I'm being able to do right now. So I go back on that year. If there's videos that I go back and watch, I go back and watch those because that's really when I felt pretty good.
Here is Devers via his interpreter.
Rafi, what does it mean to be going with Xander as well and to have you two guys anchor in the left side of the infield?
You know, everyone knows how close I am with Xander. He's one of my closest friends. He helps me out a ton. And I'm just super excited for him and happy that, you know, we'll be able to share the field together. But it definitely means a lot that I'll be playing alongside him.
Also talked with All-Star J.D. Martinez.
J.D., to be going with Xander and Rafi, what does that say about the potency of the middle of this lineup and how good you guys control the game of the bat?
Good. I mean, it shows you how strong our lineup is. You know, to be having two of, you know, your four or five hitters starting in the American League All-Star game is awesome. It shows you the strength of it. And, you know, to get me in there, you have your three, four, and five guys in there. It's just a strong lineup. You know, I've been saying it for a while. I don't doubt this lineup for one bit.
J.D., you guys have been on obviously great 20-game run here. What stood out to you through these 20 games about the way, you know, the group has competed, bounced back, all those types of things?
Our relentlessness to continue to battle throughout the whole thing. You know, I mean, you saw some games where we would go down right away, but we'd come back. We had a lot of comeback wins. We've had a lot of, I think it's really kind of shown our versatility too, because some games like today, we don't hit, put up one run and our pitching, you know, takes over. And there's other games where it's the opposite and we got a really bang. We were at home, you know, against Kansas City. So, I mean, it just shows the relentlessness of the team.
J.D. Martinez right there. Also checked in with Red Sox hitting coach Tim Hyers at Fenway Park about why that trio has been so successful.
Tim, I want to ask you about Rafi Devers and his first half of the season. Obviously, this has been his best start. Is there anything that stood out to you as to why he's had the success he's had in the first half?
I just think he's maturing as a hitter, and I think he's understanding some of his strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, he kind of went through that little period at the beginning and got off to a slower start. But I think he really learned from that and started to hone in on the area where he needs to swing to bat more. And we've seen less expansion up in the zone. Mm-hmm. He's laid off some breaking balls when they try to attack him below, and so we always know. I mean, if Rafi gets balls in the strike zone continuously, I mean, that's when you can do damage. So I think that's part of it, is maturing and knowing that, allowing the game to come to him and not trying to go and force action.
Yeah, it seems like he can expand the strike zone well to the outside portion of the plate, but it's always the up or down. So you don't mind him expanding the strike zone to the outer portion of the plate, because it seems like that's where he's able to drive the ball out, or even in the inner portion.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, when he gets his arms extended, he's as good as anybody. So it's the one that's so far up that you just can't get on top of it and get in play hard. So he's done a good job of swinging less at him. I mean, obviously he keeps working and keeps trying to get better. And you know, and he had that period where they're throwing him a lot of fastballs, and he was late, and you know, they kind of found a weakness. But you got to give him credit. He got in and worked and worked on his timing, and you know, we've seen, you know, since then he's did some damage on balls that with big velo fastballs that he's done damage with.
What adjustments has Hunter Renfro made from last year to this year? He talks a lot about the work that he did in the offseason and becoming a better hitter. What do you see as being the main adjustments that he has made to allow for him to have success? Is it, again, expansion of the strike zone, better selection, or is it more mechanical stuff?
You know, he told me coming in that, you know, in toward the World Series, he found some things, like he was talking about his lower half, and he found a comfort level there. And I think hitters gain confidence. I think he was able to find that one principle, that one nugget, and he worked on it in the offseason. He came into camp and, you know, continued to try to, you know, to work on it. But I give him credit for – he makes good adjustments. Mm-hmm. And what I mean is, you know, pitchers are always designing pitches to miss barrels and, you know, throwing the balls at the top of the zone or throwing breaking balls low or working east to west with two-seamers. And I've just been so impressed with him making those adjustments. You know, we've seen him get some big hits opposite field and stay on top of some balls. And then we've seen him pull some breaking balls to the pull side. And he does a really good job of making those adjustments in-game and knowing what he can and can't do. And I just think he's maturing as a hitter. He's got some experience underneath his belt now. And he's just, you know, taking advantage of that. And, I mean, and he's carried us some games. I mean, it's just he's been a contributor to help us, you know, get back in this race.
Bogey's stat line indicates that this has been his best year. And to me, what it seems like the key for him has been when he has grinded, and there have been periods where he's grinded, he has still managed to get hits during that time period. There haven't been prolonged slumps for him. Is that his maturation as a hitter as well, where he doesn't, you know, go as down with the downs as perhaps he did before?
Yeah, yes. He's able to scratch out hits and put competitive ABs when he's not feeling good. And all hitters, they're not going to feel good the entire season. And it's what do you do when you don't feel good? And that's what he's done. And he's able to put some balls in play. And he's smart. He's, you know, been around the league, and he knows how they attack him. And that's a credit to him. It's a veteran guy that knows how to help the team even when, you know, he's not feeling good at the plate.
Also checked in at Fenway with Red Sox starter Wander Rodriguez on his first half.
Joined by Red Sox starting pitcher Eduardo Rodriguez. When you look back at your first half of the season, you know, what do you see? Obviously, you've come on strong as of late, but what do you look at in totality?
I mean, what I see right now is just, I mean, the first half, it's been grinding through it, you know what I mean? Find myself, try to get back to where I was in 2019. So it's been a big progress, like long progress for me, but I think it's getting better start by start. You know what I mean? The last couple of starts has been getting better and better. I mean, it's just one pitch to take me out of the game, but at least I go out there and feeling good every time. So it's been a grinder, but getting better every time.
Has this been harder for you to get back to where you thought you were going to be than perhaps you had expected? Or, you know, it's a year off, and you were inactive for a significant portion of that time because of the myocarditis. So has this been as you expected, or has it been a little bit harder? What do you think?
I mean, it's been as expected because, I mean, I go out there every 5 days, you know what I mean? Just going out there every 5 days is just how I expected. Be out there, go and pitch. The result is just a matter of time to get back to normal. Like I say, I feel like it's been pitching better the last couple starts. So as expected, it's just go out there every 5 days. And I mean, it's been working for me. I already had like 14, 15 starts. So I'm just glad that I still go out there every 5 days.
It seems like, you know, the velocity has been better. It seems like your location has been much better as well with all of your pitches. The cutter was moving really well in your last start against the Yankees. Has that been a progress that's kind of come throughout the course of the year? And were the difficult times difficult to kind of get through, or did it provide some perspective from, you know, do you have perspective from what happened last year?
I mean, the way I see it, like, after I don't throw anything last year,
I mean, the first couple starts of the year, I would say the first eight, nine starts, well, seven starts, I was throwing like 90, 91. Now I'm back to like be like 92, 93, 94. So on that perspective, like, I'm already feel like 100% throwing my fastball. You say the last couple, the last start, I'm looking at my pitches a little bit more, like cutter, changeup, all that. So like I say, it's just been like a every step by step, every start, and I feel like I'm getting better in a good time because now we're rolling to try to get to the playoff. So I feel like it's everything happened for something. You know what I mean? If I got those bad starts, because something was made for that, but now I'm getting better and better on the right time.
How did last year change you as a person? Like, in what way? We know about the physical aspect of it and how mm-hmm. difficult that was, and you were very open about that. But how did that kind of change who you are and how you approach things, if at all?
I mean, it's just more like I enjoy everything, you know what I mean? I enjoy, like, being on the mound, my family, my teammates, even you guys. Like, that's what it changed my life. Yeah, even the media. Like, now, that's what it changed my – that's the way I changed my life now. I try to enjoy everything. Because after that, you know, the heart is like something that you have to protect all the time. And on some point, I was thinking, like, is that going to take my life out or something like that? But, like, now I just go out there and enjoy it, man. Every time, every minute, every second, I just enjoy it. Just go out there and then have fun, you know what I mean?
And this team's been easy to mm-hmm. enjoy. The starting rotation, you guys have been consistent in making mm-hmm. your starts. And up and down the lineup, day after day, this team seems to enjoy one of them. I mean, do you start to think about what things are like in 18 and this kind of having that type of vibe?
I mean, I feel like this team is a little bit different,
yep.
Especially on the starting pitcher size, because you got Sale, Porcello, I mean, DP, Nate, me, like, it was kind of like I had more veterans and, like, the rotation was a lot better. But, I mean, this rotation, I think I feel like I like it a little bit more because it's been a grinder for most of us every start, but we still go out there to make every start and keep the game like it is, you know what I mean? That's the way I see it now, like, it's a little bit different. I mean, the lineup, I mean, every day, that lineup, I think, is what it had us right where we are right now in the bullpen, too. Because starting-wise, at least we go out there and do our best, you know what I mean? But I think we're going to get better. We need to get better, like, as a five starters, you know what I mean? But what I see, man, is just, like, this thing is, like, literally a little bit different than 2018, you know what I mean? Because I feel like 2018, everybody was thinking that we're going to win the World Series from the beginning of the spring training because everything... But this team right now, on the papers, you look at it and doesn't look that good like it is right now, you know. So just like we trust each other, we go out there every time and do our best, pitching, hitting, relievers. Like, we just go out there and do our best, and that's what got us where we are right now.
Yeah, it feels like the starters provide the foundation for everybody else to do their thing, where the bullpen's mm-hmm. been a plus. Obviously, the lineup's been a plus. And to me, this feels actually more like a team that was a little before your time here, the 2013 team, mm-hmm. which was coming off a last-place finish. No one really expected much of the group. Brought in veterans like Johnny Gomes and Mike mm-hmm. Napoli and Shane Victorino. It seems like the same thing happened here. A pedigree of guys came in like Hunter and like Kike, Marlin,
yeah.
and some veterans that you didn't know what to expect from. They have provided a lot for this team, and this team has kind of come out of nowhere, and that vibe is completely different than 18.
I mean, we have a really good group of veterans over here. Like you just say it, Marwin, Kike, Hunter, even Otavino, you know what I mean? So I feel like that's what it changed us a lot, you know, the confidence in each other. We believe, like I said, we believe each other. We all, like, every time somebody's in the play, we know something good is going to happen. Every time somebody's on the mound, even if we got, like, bases loaded, we know, like, we throw to each other, like, that guy is going to get out of that jam, you know what I mean? So it's just how I feel, like, I feel that it was the same in 2018. That's the throws to each other, the whole team is really good right now, you know, in AC. Everything is just like it's one group. We are like we feel like we are one family, and that's the way. I feel like that's the way you win championships. You know what I mean? Thinking like that way.
Wrap up with hockey is Trent Frederick is back with the Bruins on a 2-year deal, and Frederick, a guy who I think has a potential to be an impact forward for this team moving forward, impact power forward. I talked with him about that.
Hey Trent, congrats on the new deal. Just when you look back last year, do you look it as kind of an introduction, kind of a start and getting things going? Or was there, you know, disappointment about, obviously, what happened, not being able to get back into the lineup after the illness and be a part of the numbers game?
Yeah. No, I mean, for sure get my feet wet. I think this is just the beginning for my hockey career, I guess. And I think I have a lot more to offer. Obviously, I was disappointed that we didn't make it, that we're not playing right now. And obviously, I wanted to help out as well. So. But, you know, everything happens for a reason, and You know, sometimes it's out of your control and you just got to keep working hard and work till the next day.
You go into next season feeling like you are going to be a big part of the Bruins for 4 years to come. And there's been a lot of talk about, you know, depth and the third and fourth line guys and getting that, those types of contributions. Do you feel like you're going to be a big part of things for years to come?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm striving towards. You know, I've got a lot of work to become that. And I think I have the ability to become that. I think I will, but obviously I have some work ahead of me to do that.
Thanks. Have a good summer.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
That's Trent Frederick. This is the Press Pass. Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Start a couple all-stars here in this segment of the show. We're going to start with Red Sox starting pitcher Nathan Eovaldi.
So, Nate, what does all-star mean to you, given, you know, the context of your career, everything that you've put into this? So what does being an all-star mean to you in terms of your accomplishments?
I mean, for me, it's, you know, it's kind of one of those personal achievements. I've never been able to achieve it. I think one of the main reasons is I just can't stay healthy. You know, at the beginning of the season, I've always had my injuries at those given times. So for me to be able to achieve this, it's a huge honor to be able to represent the Red Sox out there. But then also, you know, a huge thank you to, like, our training staff for them doing such an amazing job of being able to keep me healthy out there on the field. And, you know, same with AC and Bushy managing me well out there during the games as well.
Yeah, obviously we've talked about this since 2018 and even your career prior to it. There's never a question of your ability to pitch when you are healthy and one of the best pitchers in baseball, but that's always been the question. So to me, that's got to be the ultimate payoff, right? That you've stuck it out, you've gone through all these surgeries, you've gone through all the rehab, and to be rewarded for finally putting together that consistent first half pitching the way that you've always known you're capable. I mean, that has to be the ultimate reward in this.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely up there for sure. Being able to stay healthy, be able to take the ball every 5-6 days, be able to go out there and give the team a good chance to win. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's why you sign up to do the job, and you want to be able to be that guy that the team's going to rely on, and I feel like the team's been able to do that with me this year.
Do you look most forward to pitching and getting that opportunity to do so? Alex has talked a lot about that, and you crank it up to 103 and so forth. But is it the experience, perhaps, maybe even more so, that you're looking forward to, and the pitching being a part of that and being around the best players in baseball, setting up shop, talking to guys that you may admire, may not know all that well? But what are you looking forward to most, I guess, in regard to the experience?
I mean, really just the entire thing. You know, I'm not really sure what to expect out of it. You know, I mean, you're going to be there with the best of the best. And, I definitely want to take the opportunity to pick their brains. But, again, we're out there competing against one another, so you don't want to tip your cards too much. But, just the little things to be able to take away from. I'm going to have my family going there. So my son's 7 now, and he's starting to like baseball more and more. So I'm really excited for him to be able to experience this opportunity as well. And same with my wife and, my daughter. Everything that they've been able to do for me and the support that they've given me, it's been unbelievable. And, I definitely wouldn't have been able to be here at this point in my career if I didn't have them in my corner helping me out. So a huge thanks to them as well.
Having an 8-year-old myself, I mean, I know what it means to experience things with them and for them to have kind of a context as to what you do. So that must mean a lot in terms of this season as well that you've been able to put together where, for the first time, he knows – I assume what's going on, and he knows, that you guys are playing well. He gets a feel for being around the ballpark. He's back at the ballpark. What has that meant to you?
Yeah, it's been a lot. It's been a lot of fun just to be able to experience those moments, being around the game for so long. It's like you kind of, you get used to everything a little bit. I mean, you obviously don't take anything for granted, but for him to be able to realize, being able to watch the game and see guys, he has his favorite players, things like that, and being able to hopefully he'll be able to meet some guys there too, but I think he's more excited for the home run derby, to be able to see the balls really fly out there. It's just going to be a fun experience for sure.
Who do you like in the home run derby?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, who's all competing in there now?
Otani's in it. I mean, he's kind of the guy. And Vladdy Jr.'s in it as well. Salvador Perez and obviously some other guys too. You never know what's going on with Avino. I mean, Vladdy Jr. put on the show the last time. Pete Alonso's back. I think it's going to be a fun night.
It's going to be fun in general. I mean, especially being out there in Colorado and the ball's really going to be flying out there. And I mean, you've seen what Ohtani's been able to do all season, so it's going to be interesting for sure.
Final thing is just on, you know, the first half for this team as a whole, and how much have you enjoyed this group and, you know, the trajectory that you guys are on? And to me, you know, this feels a lot like the 2013 team coming off a last place finish. A lot of veteran guys came in that group and in this one, which, you know, really helped to stabilize the kind of winning culture, and it helped the core, being one of those, in terms of moving towards a championship. And it's early still around the All-Star break, but this feels like it has the potential to be a championship team.
I mean, we definitely have that chip on our shoulder. Like you said, we definitely have a lot of veteran guys who've experienced a lot, gone through a lot. I think with that and then having AC back, I mean, I'm excited for the second half for sure, but our bullpen has been unbelievable, I think, up until this point. You know, with Barnes and Otto at the backside, we got Workman back, and then Josh Taylor had his struggles earlier in the season, but he's been outstanding for us. Having Whitlock, you know, Sawamura joining the team, they've been outstanding for us as well. And then our offense, you know, you can't say enough about those guys. But kind of touching back on health, you know, our starters have been able to go out there and make the start every 5 days, and I think that helps a lot. It's going to help us out a lot down the road. You know, we'll be able to have those opportunities to, you know, have a six man maybe at times, and then whether it's Hauk or Sale coming back to help out in those terms too, I think it'll be kind of like 18, where towards the end of the season the starters had a little bit of a break, so then when the playoffs do get here, we'll be able to, you know, be able to contribute and help out the bullpen as well.
Nate, thanks a lot. Enjoy the All-Star game.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Appreciate it.
Also talked with Matt Barnes. Check 1, 2, 3, 4. Matt, how much perspective do you have on what 3, 2, and 1? Just how much does the All-Star game mean to you, given the fact that you've gone through this? I'll start over again.
That's fine.
Just your perspective on being an All-Star, given, you know, what your major league journey has been. And do you feel like this is something that means more to you, given what has taken place, than it would have if, say, it happened in your first or second year?
I mean, I think the perspective is probably the same any time that you get the opportunity to go to the All-Star game and playing it. It's definitely an honor. It's definitely humbling. It's going to be exciting. Probably be a little tiring, but it's going to be an experience of a lifetime and something that obviously you always work towards. And I'm super excited for it. I really am.
Was this always something that you viewed as being an obtainable goal? Or you look at the way closers are favored and go in All-Star games versus relievers, and right, we didn't always know what your trajectory was going to be. Was this something that seemed like it may have been kind of out of your reach for a period of time, and now it's here?
I don't think so. I mean, I always thought I was good enough to go to a game. Obviously, you know, it's more difficult if you're not the closer. Mm-hmm. But I always knew that I was capable of going and that I was good enough to go to the game. It was just a matter of putting it all together, and maybe some timing of being in the right role. But you don't go out there and think about, oh, I need to do this to get to that game. You go out there to compete and do your job for the team, and as long as you focus on what you're trying to do every night on the mound and get guys out and put up zeros, typically the rest of it kind of takes care of itself. So I don't know that I've ever sat down and been like, oh, I need to accomplish this goal. I just kind of, like I said, take the approach of let's stay healthy and let's, you know, let's throw the ball well, and everything else will kind of handle itself.
In spring training, Alex kind of played this cat and mouse game as to whether or not you're going to be the closer or not. How did that play in, you know, your mentality going into this year? Do you think it had any sort of a positive effect, or your strike first mentality that you established really in the offseason, do you think that was just going to create the environment where you would have the success you've had this year?
You know, I've thrown in every role imaginable out of the bullpen. So whether it was a 7th, 8th, 9th, whatever it was, I was going to come in and do my job, and that was it. Wasn't overly sold. I mean, I made it clear that I wanted to close. And I probably had a better idea than most of where exactly I was going to pitch. But at the end of the day, you still have to go out there and you have to execute pitches. You still have to get guys out. You still have to do your job, whether that's the 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th. And that's kind of how I approached it, and that's how I've always approached it.
you feel this is the best bullpen you guys have had in your time here? It's been solid for many, many years. You've had obviously a great guy in the back end in Craig Kimbrell. You've had used starters as relievers in key situations in 18. But do you feel that top to bottom, depth-wise, this is the best group that you've had out there?
I don't know. This one's very good. There were a few years. I mean, we had a year where Craig was closing and Koji was throwing the eighth.
Yeah.
I mean, we've definitely had some good years. I don't know if I would say it's absolutely the best, but I'm not going to say that it's not the best. I would have to go back and kind of look at every single year. But it's definitely up there. I don't know that another year might have been better than this, but there might have been some years where it was all equal. But this one's damn good.
Final thing, just on the All-Star experience, are you looking most forward to, you know, the conversations and the festivities and being a part of things with your family as opposed to the game side of things, the whole package? How would you kind of categorize your expectations?
I don't know that I have any. I'm going to enjoy the experience. You know, it's awesome that I get my family to go out there. I've got a couple of friends, obviously some teammates and some guys that I know playing with us. I'm just going out there. I don't really have expectations on what it's going to be like. I know that it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, I've talked to guys who have been. They said it's going to be a ton of fun, take it all in. So I'm kind of going in with an open mind and just looking to enjoy it as much as possible.
Sweet. Thanks, Matt. Enjoy yourself. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Bye. This is the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan. The Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. More from Fenway Park now. Red Sox starter Nick Pivetta traded from the Phillies to the Red Sox for Brandon Workman as well as Heath Embry. One of the great steals in Red Sox history was getting Pivetta. Regardless of even how the future looks, and the future looks pretty bright for Pivetta. Aaron Nola, ace starter for the Philadelphia Phillies, had talked with me about Pivetta's impact and what he expects from him moving forward. Has it surprised you at all the success that Nick has had here this year? And what do you think has clicked for him this year?
It doesn't really surprise me. He's a guy who always, once he got on the mound, he competed. He worked hard in the bullpens and stuff like that. He always wanted to refine all his pitches in his arsenal. It's cool to see him have success over here, especially a place like Boston and the AL East and I had a conversation with him earlier today on the field, and it seems like he's in a really good place. So it's been fun to watch.
One thing that's really stood out is his competitiveness. Like, he wants each pitch, he wants each out. And how does that, play with you as a starting pitcher? Is it something that you kind of feed off of when a guy wants it that much? And is that an important thing to have that competitiveness in a guy and a staff?
For sure. I mean, we're all competitive. A lot of us show it in different ways. You can see it in his face when he's out there. You can see how he competes. It goes a long way. You see it across the league, like a Max Scherzer. He wants every pitch. He focuses every single pitch, and that's what it's all about. And that's what Nick's doing now. Nowadays, every single pitch he's focusing, no matter what the count is. And that's what makes good pitchers. And that's what it goes a long way. Every pitch matters in this game. And as the longer we play, the more we realize that.
How important is it for particularly an elite pitcher like yourself? I mean, that seems to be one of the big things that separates guys, is that competitive edge where stuff is important, but belief and conviction is so important as well. Whether it's Pedro Martinez or Chris Sale or somebody like Nate, obviously, when he's healthy, is one of those guys.
Conviction is one of the number one things that we have to do. If you don't feel convicted to a pitch that you're going to throw, it's in my eyes, it's almost like a 50-50 shot. Mm-hmm. It could be the wrong pitch when you're convicted, but if you want that pitch, you want that pitch. It's the right pitch in that situation. Even if you give up a hit, you were dead set on throwing that and throwing it where you want to. So I always believe in every pitch you throw, you want to throw it, not just because this one may work, because a lot of times that doesn't end up good.
Right. It doesn't play on you afterwards from a mental perspective either. If you have the conviction in the pitch and it doesn't work out, as you kind of mentioned, that's fine. But if you're throwing a pitch you're not convicted in and it doesn't work out, then you're down on yourself.
Right. There's no excuses for it after that. You know, if it's the wrong pitch, hits a homer, say, I don't know, a fastball that you want up and away. It hits a homer. You know, you wanted that pitch and you sold out on it and he hit it. So there's no other excuses you can make besides owning up to it. So that's the beauty of it.
Final thing on Nick, what do you see as his ceiling being? Is he a guy that can be a top flight starter and in this division for a long period of time? Do you think that's his ceiling?
You know, I think so, because he showed he could stay healthy, and that's a big part of it. You know, you want to make your 30-plus starts, 33, 34 starts, and his stuff is obviously really good. Throws hard. Curveball's nasty, as always. You know, I think as the more he pitches each year, the more he's going to learn more about his arsenal, his stuff, his body, where to throw balls and where to not in situations. So, I mean, that's all it's about. He's just got to keep staying healthy so he can get more repetitions. You know, once he hits, you know, the 200-plus innings and the 30-plus starts mark, you know, you start to know what you really need to do and what you need to back off of and need to do more of during the game. So, yeah, I do, man. I think he's in a good place right now, and he needs to stay where he's at.
Red Sox bullpen has been so key in the success for this group. I talked with Josh Taylor about that.
One of the big reasons the Red Sox had the success they had this year is the way you and Darlington have thrown the ball out of the bullpen. What have been the keys, in your view, to the success you've had in kind of just repeating things in appearance after appearance and sustaining that?
Yeah, I mean, as a whole, it's the whole bullpen. You know, it's not just one or two guys. Mm-hmm. It's everybody going in and getting their job done every inning. So you got to credit the whole bullpen for that. Whether it's, you know, to go in and get out, or whether it's to go in and, you know, leverage situations, it's the whole bullpen as a job is doing their job, or as a team is doing their job, and it's pretty cool to watch, you know, to be able to be down there and, you know, when the phone rings, be confident in any guy they call. It's a good feeling to have down there.
Yeah, everybody talks about hitting being contagious, and I feel that's kind of the same way with pitching as well, particularly with a bullpen where it seems like each night you guys come in and you either hold a lead or you hold a game to allow the team to come back, and there's been a lot made of the team's comeback victories this year, and the bullpen obviously has allowed for that environment to take place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, you just build the confidence in the bullpen as a whole. Everyone's doing their job. Everyone wants to compete. Everyone wants to help the team win. And even if we're losing, like you said, we just, you know, whoever goes into the game, we hold it there and give our offense a chance to win the game.
How about for you personally? You've had a lot of success locating pitches and making sure that you're hitting your spots out there. What's been the key for you in doing that over and over again in appearance after appearance?
I mean, when our starters go in and do the job and, you know, command both sides of the plate, it really makes the bullpen's job a lot easier. You know, they two or three times through the lineup and they, you know, we got command on the inside and outside part of the play. It keeps them guessing and it makes our job a lot easier. So there you got to credit the starting rotation as well for, you know, giving us an opportunity to have, you know, a little bit more comfortability going around the zone.
Final thing, what is, you know, the identity of the bullpen in your view? Like, is there a particular, you know, mantra? Like, a lot of times the guys will rally and have that type of a vibe that indicates who you are. Who is the bullpen, you know, in your view? Are you guys a bunch of scrappers, just kind of found things and have come together as a unit? How would you define it?
I think we all, you know, found our places. I wouldn't say we're scrappers. I think we all got really good stuff out there. I think any situation, all of us have a chance to succeed and, you know, help the team win a game. But it's just a confidence level down there, you know. Again, going back to the confidence in the bullpen, it's, you know, phone rings, it's like, who's up? Let's go. You know, who's got the next in? We, you know, we're just trying to piece it together there, but it's good to go in with the lead and, you know, have confidence in the guy to, you know, get it to you next.
Sweet. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah. This is the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan.